Blog Talk Radio.
Because the only truth, you know, is what you get over this tube. Listen to me. Television is not the truth.
Hey, yo. Genocide. My man, Junior Mach knows.
Junior Mach knows.
We are classified intelligence.
Hey, yo, big genocide, man. I bring revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, join with the movement. Form a unit, demand a resolution. No more seclusion, the system I'm refusing. We're gonna protest till we see progress. We're gonna take it to the White House. Tell the president, notify the press. The voice of the people you can never suppress. They got agenda 21, population reduction. Shadow governments making your government function. They tell you what to do when you follow instruction. Too blind to see the lies and the corruption. Rise up, cause we running out of patience. We ain't scared, bring the regiments and agents. We gonna take it to the streets and the pavements. So get ready for the liberty assailants.
Global warming is a hoax.
A carbon tax.
We all slaves to the big corporations, brainwashed by the TV station. Nation and school education. They print money and we kill for the paper. Made in America, the freighter. They got the free trade, but it's really slave labor. You rocking the labels made by your kid in Asia. Got the ring with the bling bling diamonds. Sold to the West by African war tyrants. Does it feel good to be covered in violence? Rappers need to wake up and break the silence. Come on, raise the sirens. Change will commence. We don't want war. We don't.
Welcome to Six Emperor Tyrannus News. I'm your host, Mark Nathini. Today is December 23rd. And of course, we know in the news an epic thing has happened, several epic things this year. But one of the things that has happened was the fact that Trump signed the sweeping tax overhaul and has secured a major victory for the Republican Party. But we're not so concerned about that. What we're concerned about is, and what we're happy about is, the fact that he's pushing to keep the promises that he made while running for president. And now that he is president, he has taken a hard stance against the deep state, against the establishment, and for this reason, they're ratcheting up their attacks against him, pushing for false investigations based on phony dossiers. And yet, he still pushes forward. And recently, like I said, he has passed the overhaul of the U.S. tax code, and he wanted to do it before Christmas, and he made that happen. He made good on his vow to push it before Christmas and before taking his vacation at Mar-a-Lago. He stated that he watched the news this morning, he said, and they were all saying, will he keep his promise? Will he sign it by Christmas? And he said, I called downstairs and said, get it ready. We have to sign it now. And so President Trump wanted to make good on that promise. This week, he celebrated his first major legislative victory since taking office a year ago as Congress passed the $1.5 trillion overhaul set to impact every corner of the economy through dramatic tax cuts for corporations and also temporary reductions for individuals. I believe it's up till 2025. He said, as you know, $3.2 trillion in tax cuts for American families, and they're going to start to see that because we're signing it today. And he says we're going to bring about $4 trillion back from overseas. And corporations are obviously going wild over the prospect, he says. This is something the Republicans wanted for years. Democrats wanted for years and years, but yet never got it done. Now it's being done, he said. Now, you know, I was thinking about it and talking to my son about it and said, had Barack Obama passed this same bill, they would be praising him. The Democrats would be just, you know, getting funny tingling up their legs, as one of the reporters said. And they would just be so over ecstatic about it. But because it didn't happen under Obama, but it happened under President Trump, you know, they're attacking him and saying that Nancy Pelosi saying that we're going to die and all this nonsense, all this craziness from the left. This is the biggest tax reform in a generation, and it's now official. But according to CNN, the poll that they did, they state that about 55% of Americans are opposing the tax reform. But as Paul Ryan said and others have said and Trump has proclaimed, once they start to reap the benefits, they will see that it is a good thing. So, you know, that's what's good about it. And Trump said, we have more legislative victories than any other president. According to Yahoo News, they say it's not supported by facts. It says that he signed into law fewer than 100, mostly minor pieces of legislation, fewer than his 9 predecessors, according to GovTrack website. But, you know, if you look at it, the things that he is pushing for, these things are big because they are anti-establishment, anti-globalism bills, legislation. He's taken down the TPP. That were not benefiting the United States. The Democrats get mad because they say, well, they like 35% down to 21%. But if you go high, the highest tax rates, and now we're now back down and in a competitive level with other countries, tax rates are concerned for corporations. So this just goes to show you how the Democrats and these elites want to just push high tax rates for corporations and want to blame the rich for all their sorrows, I guess, you know. But also signed a spending bill that's going to keep the federal government running until January 19th. They always say that, though. It's always going to go down, all that, you know, it's always going to stop, and the government's going to quit running and all these things, as they say, but, you know, they always pass bills to make it keep running. But the bill that's been adopted by Congress on Thursday unlocks, it says, $4 billion to build a new missile base in Alaska, as well as repairing U.S. Navy ships damaged in recent accidents. That was part of the tax cut bill, among some other things, too. But in other news, the thing that Trump is doing is, if you're not aware, he's the first president to pass legislation and protect the U.S. electric grid from EMP attacks, which is electromagnetic pulse attacks. And, you know, right now, recently, you know, we know that Kim Jong-un has threatened to use EMP attacks on the United States, fire missiles at us, he's threatened war, and so on. And there was an article that I saw today, too, that there was North Korean propaganda found on U.S. military bases in South Korea. And they are investigating how that propaganda got there. There's always been lots of North Korean propaganda going across the border to South Korea, but not on military bases, not U.S. military bases. But this is now being found on U.S. military bases, propaganda leaflets and pictures and posters and so on. But now Trump has become the first leader to call for basically protecting U.S. Electric grids and communication grids against any type of EMP attack. And he released a national security strategy last week where he made good his campaign promise to move quickly to make fixes that proponents have been waiting for. And two of the chief advocates, William Graham and Peter Vince Pry, executives of the nation's first congressional EMP commission, said in a statement that President Trump understands, even if everyone in his administration doesn't understand, at least he understands the strategic stability and longstanding strategic relationships with Russia or China are best maintained not by a policy of mutual vulnerability, but by a policy of peace through strength, protecting the nation from all missile threats. And EMP should be the cornerstone of a peace through strength policy. And they also claimed that protecting the grid would not be expensive and it could be done fast with commercial products, a solution that Trump endorsed in his strategy. An attack, according to a past EMP commission report, could lead to the deaths of 90% of the population in a year. And I did a report on that. You know, if you go back, to some of the incidents in the past where you had a power grid shut down in even one state or one area sector, you had a lot of chaos and you had robbery and theft and beatings and even shootings and killings because people panic because they have that, you know, inner instinct to survive at any cost. And so the EMP attack would shut down basically everything. Logistics, you know, food supplies would perish quickly. It'd be mass chaos. So laying out the issue in Trump's paper, it stated that critical infrastructure keeps our food fresh and our houses warm, our trade flowing, and our citizens productive and safe. The vulnerability of U.S. critical infrastructure to cyber, physical, and electromagnetic attacks means that adversaries could disrupt military command and control, banking and financial operations, the electrical grid, and means of communication. So his solution to that is the fact that in the same article it states, we will use the latest commercial capabilities, shared services, and best practices to modernize our federal information technology. We will improve our ability to provide uninterrupted and secure communications and services under all conditions. The threat of an EMP attack, either naturally from solar flares or whether they're delivered by a nuclear explosion, both of which Korea and Iran have basically threatened, then it would be a bigger concern than just a conventional missile strike because it would do so much more damage. And this is why President Trump is concerned about it and is pushing to take protective measures, one of the first presidents to do so. And the inclusion of an EMP in the new national security strategy comes just in time. Mr. President, thank you for your leadership, said to Graham, said Graham and Pry. So, you know, this is a good thing. He's taking measures to protect the United States against threats by Iran and North Korea. National Security Strategy of the United States, the document details this in it. The introduction of that document, Pillar 1, is to protect American people, homeland, and the American way of life. And some of the subsections in that is secure U.S. borders and territory, defend against weapons of mass destruction, combat bio threats and pandemics, strengthen border control and immigration policies, pursue threats to their source, defeat jihadist terrorists, dismantle transnational criminal organizations, keep America safe in the cyber era, and promote American resilience. And then his pillar number two is to promote American prosperity, rejuvenate the domestic economy, promote free, fair, and reciprocal economic relationships. And I would propose that would be with other countries. Lead in research, technology, invention, and innovation. Promote and protect the U.S. national security innovation base and embrace energy dominance. And then pillar three is to preserve peace through strength. Renew America's competitive advantages, renew capabilities of the military, defense industrial base, nuclear forces, space, cyberspace, and intelligence. Diplomacy and statecraft, the state's competitive diplomacy, tools for economic diplomacy, and informative statecraft. And then the fourth pillar is to advance American influence, to encourage aspiring partners, achieve better outcomes in multilateral forums, champion American values. And also the last section deals with the strategy in a regional context, Indo-Pacific, Europe, Middle East, South and Central America, Western Hemisphere, and Africa. And that's what this document entails, a document by the President of the United States called the National Security Strategy of the United States, published in December of 2017. And so President Trump is pushing to, as he stated, make America great again, but he's pushing to throw the globalist agenda into the gutter. The Washington Examiner had a good article. You might have seen it on the internet already, but the year one list, 81 major Trump achievements and 11 Obama legacy items repealed. So he's passed this great tax bill this week, and he has scored 81 achievements in his first year, in which he's made good on these campaign promises to provide, like he said, significant tax cuts to boost U.S. energy production and to restore respect to the United States. And he's doing this. And that's something that the globalists and the Democrats hate, the left hates, because now they can't implement their socialist agenda for world domination. They can't push their New World Order agenda because it's being dismantled. Doing this, he's outdoing his own expectations, and he slashed at least 11 major legacy items of former President Barack Obama, including cracking down on the open border and securing it, and slowing recognition of communist Cuba, because remember, Obama was happy to open the doors to Cuba. And I'm not saying everything, you know, Cuba was being its own people, but at the same time, you know, it is a communist nation. And he has effectively starting to kill Obamacare by taking away that mandate that everybody didn't like anyway, where you were basically forced to buy insurance or get penalized. But according to the White House, the 81 accomplishments are in 12 major categories, and they include well over 100 other minor achievements. But you're not going to hear about it on CNN News, obviously. And so I'm going to go into this list, and I'm going to show you this list that breaks the propaganda of the mainstream media and the Democrat Party, which try to make you think that Trump is not accomplishing anything. You know, they will not talk about the achievements that President Trump is achieving. And according to this article, Washington Examiner, it says administrations typically tout their achievements broadly at the end of each year, but Trump plans to list jobs added, regulations killed, foreign policy victories won, and moves to help veterans and even drug addicts, because he's been doing a lot to fight this opioid epidemic. And in a sign of support for conservatives, it says the White House is also highlighting achievements for the pro-life community. And here's 12 categories that they explain, 81 different wins that have been cited by the White House. Now, the first one is jobs in the economy. So he has passed the tax reform bill, providing $5.5 billion in cuts and repealing Obamacare mandate. He has increased the GDP above 3%, which is a great achievement. Even Barack Obama was stating that President Trump was not going to be able to do that. He was saying that it would be impossible to create jobs and raise the GDP. And so that's another one that he's done. Now, here's President Obama. I'll let you hear something. This is funny.
Carrier Corporation and shipping their jobs out of state. Here's someone who worked for Carrier, and he has a question for you.
How you doing, Mr. President?
How are you?
And I'm representing the Steelworkers Union, Local 1999, and I'm trying to find out what do we have left for as all of our jobs are leaving Indianapolis, right? And I see here you're doing a lot of things, but in Indianapolis, there's nothing there for us. I mean, what's next? I mean, what can we look forward to? Unemployment, whatever, because all of our jobs is left or in the process of leaving, sir.
Well, in fact, we've seen more manufacturing jobs created since I've been president than any time since the 1990s. That's a fact.
He's a nut.
And the auto, they've had record sales and they've hired back more people over the last 5 years than they had for a very long time. We actually,
and that's because they were subsidized by the government. But he goes on in his spiel when he talks to this guy and he starts making up all this stuff, basically, most of which is not true. And but now, and because at the time the GDP was at like 1.8%, it was just straggling along. It wasn't going anywhere because you have so many regulations. Speaking of regulations, I talked about that on a previous program where President Trump has now, remember, during the campaign, he said for every one regulation that the U.S. government creates during his administration, they were going to get rid of two regulations. And there has been a recent report done that shows that he has gotten rid of 22 different regulations for every one created, which is phenomenal. And he's going to take us back, he says, to 1960 levels when there was only, you know, I can't remember the report, but there's tons and tons of regulations now. And so he's working on that. And now the GDP is increasing by 3%. And he's also created 1.7 million new jobs, cutting unemployment to 4.1%. And this is 1 year. And we've also seen Dow Jones reach record highs. We've seen a rebound in economic confidence to a 17-year high. I did report on that. We have new executive order to boost apprenticeships. We have a move to boost computer sciences in education department programs and the prioritizing women-owned businesses for some $500 million in SBA loans. But again, he's, you know, he's a chauvinist and a misogynist, and he's a racist and all these things. But in jobs and the economy, these are some of the achievements that he's already, as far as job-killing regulations, he signed an executive order, which hold on a second. My technical computer here is going wacko on me. So he signed an executive order that that he would kill two regulations for every one created. But like I said, it has come up that he's done like 22 regulations for every one created. He beat the big, he beat that, you know, big time, and he cut like 16 rules and regulations for every one, saving $8.1 billion, according to this report. But newer reports are saying it's actually 22 for every one. Either way you slice it, that's big. He signed 15 congressional regulatory cuts. He withdrew from the Obama-era peace climate agreement, ending the threat of environmental regulations, which we needed to get out of anyway. I mean, the United States is paying all the money. And really, all the reports and polls stated that it really wasn't going to hill of beans in carbon levels and in temperature levels. He also signed an executive order cutting the time for infrastructure permit approvals, and he eliminated an Obama-era rule on streams that Trump felt unfairly targeted the coal industry. And remember, him and Hillary both attacked the coal industry because why? They want to go to this green energy sustainable development under Agenda 2030 program to basically enslave everybody. Remember when President Obama was in Africa talking to African people there, he basically was telling them that if everybody had air conditioning and cars and these things, the world would boil over, basically telling them they couldn't have these things. As far as fair trade, he's made good on his campaign promises to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's opened up the North American Free Trade Agreement talks and stated that he wants better deals for the United States that's going to benefit both the United States and other countries. He's working to bring companies back to the United States, and companies like Toyota, Mazda, Broadcom Limited, and Foxconn have announced plans to open up U.S. plants. He's also worked to promote the sale of U.S. products abroad, and he's made enforcement of U.S. trade laws, especially those that involve national security, a top priority, and he's ended Obama's deal with Cuba. Now, when it comes to boosting the United States' energy dominance, the Department of the Interior, which has led the way in cutting regulations, opened plans to lease 77 million acres of the Gulf of Mexico for oil and gas drilling. And Trump has traveled the world to promote the sale and use of U.S. energy. He's expanded energy infrastructure projects like Keystone, pipeline and which was snubbed by Obama. And he has ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to kill Obama's Clean Power Plan. The EPA is reconsidering Obama rules on methane emissions as well. So more achievements, but you don't hear about those on CNN News. Protecting the U.S. homeland, when it comes to that, he's laid out principles for reforming immigration and has announced plans to end chain migration, which lets one legal immigrant bring in dozens of family members. He's also made progress to build the border wall with Mexico. And, you know, of course, he's running into a lot of resistance from the left, which doesn't want him to achieve these goals. But nevertheless, he still is making good on these promises. He's also ended the Obama-era catch and release of illegal immigrants. He's boosted the arrests of illegals inside the United States. He's also doubled the number of counties participating with Immigration and Customs Enforcement charged with deporting illegals. Remember, under Obama, nobody was negotiating. Obama was telling them not to negotiate, basically. He's also removed 36% more criminal gang members than in fiscal year 2016. He started the end of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Program. Now, there has been some negotiation on that, I believe, with the tax cuts that I have to look into, because there might have been some changes in that in agreements with the Democrats to get the bill passed. And ditto for, he's done the same thing for amnesty programs like the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans, cracking down also on some 300 sanctuary cities that defy ICE, but they'll get federal dollars. And he's added some 100 new immigration judges. So he is working on protecting the U.S. homeland. And as I've talked about in the previous article, he's also pushing to set up protection against EMP attacks and cyber attacks. As far as protecting communities, Justice announced grants of $98 million to fund 802 new cops. Justice work with Central American nations to arrest and charge 4,000 MS-13 members. Homeland Security rounded up nearly 800 MS-13 members and an 83% in 1 year increase. And he's also signed 3 executive orders down on international criminal organizations. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions created new national public partnership, which is a cooperative initiative with to reduce violent crime. That's just in protecting our communities. As Trump's nominated 73 federal judges and his nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And he's also ordered ethical standards, including a lobbying ban. And he's called for a comprehensive plan to reorganize the executive branch. He's ordered an overhaul to modernize the digital government and called for a full audit of the Pentagon and its spending, because there's been trillions of dollars missing out of the Pentagon, basically. And we remember 9/11, Rumsfeld was talking about it the day before the attacks. As far as the opioid epidemic, you know that there's been a tremendous increase in opioid deaths and abuse. He has declared a nationwide public health on opioids, and his Council of Economic Advisors played a role in determining that overdoses are underreported by as much as 24%. The Department of Health and Human Services have laid out a new 5-point strategy to fight the crisis, And the Justice Department has announced that it was scheduling fentanyl substance as a drug class under the Controlled Substances Act. And they've also started a fraud crackdown, arresting more than 400 people. The administration has added $500 million to fight the crisis itself, and the National Drug Takeback Day, which is a day they've declared, is the Drug Enforcement Agency collected 456 tons of drugs. So these are more achievements that are either underreported or not reported by the mainstream news. Protecting life. Yes, in the first week, in his very first week in office, reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy that blocks some $9 billion in foreign aid for abortion. And he's also worked on a bill overturning an Obama regulation that blocked states from defunding abortion providers. And he's also published guidance to block Obamacare money for supporting abortion. You know, something that the left would say is racist, probably. That's racist. We have a right. But what about the right of the unborn? Well, they're not human. At least that's what they say. And I believe it was what, Doug Brown that, or Doug, what was Doug Jones, the man who was just voted in over Judge Roy Moore, who stated, Jones, I believe, stated that, you know, you could kill a baby all the way up to its birth. It's, you know, not considered human, I guess. But Trump is working to protect the sanctity of life, of the unborn. As far as veterans are concerned, he's helping veterans as well. And I salute him for that. I'm a veteran myself. But he signed the Veterans Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act to allow senior officials in the Department of Veterans Affairs to fire failing employees and establish safeguards to protect whistleblowers. He's also signed the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act. He signed the Harry W. Colmy Veterans Education Assistance Act to provide support. And he signed a VA Choice and Equality or Quality Employment Act of 2017 to authorize $2.1 billion in additional funds for the Veterans Choice Program. He's also created a VA hotline and had the VA launch an online access and quality tool, providing veterans with a way to access wait time and quality of care data. And with the VA Secretary David Skolkin, he announced three initiatives to expand access to health care for veterans using telehealth technology. So, you know, the VA is in shambles. There was a lot of bad reports going on during the Obama administration, and it didn't seem like they were doing anything to help these veterans. Meanwhile, they're overseas fighting in these wars and being injured. There's a lot of brain trauma. There was a lot of PTSD. And these types of things, and the quality of care they were getting back here in the United States was shameful, to say the least. As far as promoting peace through strength, he has done these things. He has directed the rebuilding of the military. He's ordered a new national strategy and nuclear posture review. He's also worked to increase defense spending. He's also empowered the military leaders to seize the initiative and win, reducing the need for a White House sign-off on every mission. You know, gave them the say in how they should defeat ISIS and defeat terrorists. These wars, which I'm not necessarily for, but they're being waged, and so if they're not being restricted, they can do the job and get the job finished and hopefully get out of those areas at some point. But He's also directed the revival of the National Space Council to develop space war strategies. He's elevated U.S. Cyber Command into a major warfighting command, and he withdrew from the U.N. Global Compact on Migration, which Trump saw as a threat to our borders, basically the U.N. telling us who we should be bringing in. To hell with those people. The United Nations is corrupt. They support dictators and rogue governments, and they're pushing for world government. We don't want that. He's also imposed a travel ban on nations that lack border and anti-terrorism security. And finally, it's been put into effect after finally, you know, they had judges that would say it was legal and everything, because the left tried to so hard to stop that as well. And also, he has ISIS lose virtually all of its territory since President Trump has been in office. Now, some of that, too, Russia has been doing as well in fighting ISIS. And we know that, you know, I mean, since President Obama and Hillary Clinton have been out of there, there's been no more financing of ISIS by the U.S. government. So that's part of the reason why they're dwindling as well, and then getting their butts smashed and stomped on by U.S. military and Russian forces. And Trump administration has pushed for strong action against global outlaw North Korea and its development of nuclear weapons. And he's announced a new Afghanistan strategy that strengthens support for U.S. forces at war with terrorism. Hopefully, you know, we can end that, because I do think there's some nefarious stuff going on in Afghanistan, especially with guarding opium fields and things like this. And also, NATO has increased support for the war in Afghanistan. He's also approved a new Iran strategy plan focused on neutralizing the country's influence in that region, because Iran has had an influence in it. Israel has recently bombed strategic areas that they felt Iran was getting a foothold in Syria and places like that, to make sure they don't. And he's also ordered missile strikes against a Syrian airbase used in a chemical weapon. Remember that? That basically put them at bay. And it is debatable whether Bashar al-Assad actually committed those chemical attacks. And there's reasons for believing that, because he was in a better position before that happened. And there would be no reason for him to all of a sudden do chemical attacks when he's in a strategic position to have some sway in the UN and other things that were going on at that time. So it doesn't make any sense. But Trump went and, you know, made a statement by bombing the airbase, which they believed the chemical weapons attacks came from, and sent a message. He also prevented subsequent chemical attacks by announcing a plan to detect them better and warned of future strikes if they were used. And he's also ordered new sanctions on the dictatorship of Venezuela. As far as restoring our confidence here in the United States and respect for America among the other countries, Trump has won the release of Americans held abroad, often using his personal relationships with world leaders. And, you know, whether they're grateful or not. He's also made good on a campaign promise to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And recently the United Nations, they came out and they voted, it was like 186-9 or something like this, against that declaration. Well, who gives a damn? To hell with you guys. It doesn't matter what you think. We don't care. And the president and I think Nikki Haley, they made it very clear to the United Nations that we basically, as what's his name, Humphrey Bogart would say, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. We don't care what the UN thinks. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Declared a long time ago, way before Trump said it. But I'm glad Trump said it. and the Jews and Israel is eternally grateful to President Trump for making that declaration. And I am glad he made the declaration personally. Also, he has conducted a historic 12-day trip through Asia, winning new cooperative deals. And on that trip, he attended three regional summits to promote American interests. And by the way, they welcomed him very warmly and passionately and very respectfully, unlike the way they handled Obama when he came. He also traveled to the Middle East and Europe to build new relationships with leaders there. And he's traveled to Poland and on to Germany for the G20 summit meeting, where he pushed again for the funding of women entrepreneurs. But he's a misogynist. You know, he's a pig, according to these Democrats. But yet, you know, he's doing a great job. You know he is. Goodness. They know he's doing a good job. And but there's five different facts that you're not going to hear about concerning the recent tax cut. The mainstream media is not going to tell you about. And this is a report from InfoWars. Good report. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act finally passed in Congress and has been signed by President Obama or by President Trump on Friday. I got Obama on the brain. I was talking about him. So, by President Trump, and the mainstream media is now, you know, has a big campaign to just make it seem like it's the end of the world. They're in meltdown status. And they just want to make it sound like it's such a bad thing to give a tax cut, but it's a good thing to have higher taxes. But we're going to go over that, because here's five different things that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. One, they don't want you to know that the corporate tax rate has been lowered from 35% to 21%, making it competitive with most other nations. And they don't want you to know that all the other nations' tax rates are pretty much that already. The corporate tax rates in these other countries were already at 20 to 21%. We had the highest ones. So now we're becoming more competitive with these other industrialized nations, and several companies such as Wells Fargo and AT&T have announced wage hikes and bonuses. And I talked about that in another program, but they have announced pay raises and bonuses once this bill passes, and it has passed. So that's another good thing. And Donald Trump in a tweet stated, "Our big and very popular tax cut and reform bill has taken on an unexpected source of new love. It's a that big companies and corporations are showering their workers with bonuses. This is a phenomenon that nobody even thought of, and now it is the rage." And he said, "Merry Christmas." So this is one of the things that the mainstream media is trying to hide, or they're trying to downplay, or they're trying to say most companies are not going to do it. But the fact is, there's a lot of companies that are doing this, giving wage hikes and bonuses, $1,000 bonuses, wage hikes from $10 an hour to $15 an hour, which is a good thing. I mean, the left, you know, where they were crying, the social justice warriors were crying when they were, "Oh, McDonald's, they should pay $15 an hour to flip a burger," and so on. But now you got these companies who are happy about the tax cuts and saying, "Hey, we're going to raise our employees' benefits, their hourly wage, from $10 to $15 an hour," and the left is crying about it and saying that we're all going to die. Nancy Pelosi said so too. The other thing they don't want you to know about is that every single income bracket will receive tax relief. And the largest cuts, I mean, I talked about it in the show the other day, really the largest cuts are in the middle class. I think it's like 4%. And that's according to Tax Policy Center. And that's contrary to what the mainstream media is talking about, where they are insisting that only the very wealthy are going to benefit from this. And if you look at the brackets, the tax rates for the middle class, I think it's, like I said, they're the ones that are dropping like 4%. So they're benefiting the most, actually, as far as rates are concerned. But they don't want to talk about that in mainstream media. And the other thing they don't want to talk about is the Obama disaster care mandate that's being repealed. And now Americans are not going to be required under law to purchase Obamacare health insurance or be fined. But they want to make it sound like, oh, look, all these people are going to lose their benefits. Well, a lot of them are just going to drop their insurance because they don't want it. They don't need it. A lot of young people, they don't buy it anyway. They weren't buying it before the Obamacare crap came along. But they want to make it sound like people are just going to be dying and falling over in the streets dead. And that was one of the big things in the Obamacare plan that people didn't like, was that mandate. So that's going to be gone. The other thing that I want to tell you is that in this tax cuts, there is the doubling of standard tax deductions from $6,350 up to $12,000 for individuals and $12,000 to $24,000 for married couples, which also is going to bring a lot of tax relief as well for the middle class. But again, they don't want to tell you about this either. They want to make it sound like it's a bad thing. They want to make it sound like it's a bad thing. And for example, I'll show you the tax brackets. If you're in the $93,000 up to $195,000 tax bracket, you're paying 28%. You have a 28% tax rate. But under the new plan, it's dropping to 24%. So that's actually a 4% decrease. If you're making $38,000 up to $93,000 a year as a single person, you go from 25% down to 22%. That's a 3% decrease. And if you're married or you're a joint file, if you file jointly or are married, let's say you're making $19,000 up to $70,000 a year, you're getting a 3% tax rate decrease. I mean, these things they're good cuts. Now, yeah, they're not going to be permanent. They are permanent for the corporations. They're not permanent for the average tax person. Not up until like 2025 or 26, I believe it is. And then more than likely, if these things are running well and are beneficial, then they're going to be extended by Congress or the next president. So, you know, but we got 6 or 7 years. So, but they don't want to say that either. And then also the fifth thing that they don't want to talk about is the GDP growth for the United States. Now, this is saying, according to by the Tax Foundation, the U.S. GDP increase long term by 1.7% and boost wages by 1.5%. And contrary to the plain facts, the corporate media has been calling the tax cut a tax hike for the middle class, because they live in la-la land. They're in bizarro world, the Twilight Zone. They're nuts. They've echoed this same fake news, false narrative, asserting that only billionaires are going to be celebrating. But it's really, you know, this New World Order, this globalist establishment that's against the tax cut because Trump and there's economic recovery happening as we speak in the stock market, in jobs, in the middle class, and they don't like it because their agenda for world domination is crumbling. That's basically what it is, like it or not. And their investigations, their Russian collusion investigations are falling apart, and all the players on the Mueller team are now being exposed as very biased, very anti-Trump. And this then leads to the question, how tainted are these investigations and what's the real objective of their investigations? Well, obviously, it's to oust Trump from office. It's not to find truth. It's not to find justice. It's to get Trump out of office at all costs. So, but nevertheless, hey, he's doing well. And but they're battling. Trump's battling. He's battling the FBI. He's battling the CIA. He's battling the deep state. He's battling the swamp creatures. And they don't know how to handle him. There's another article from The Hill. Trump ratchets up feud with the FBI. President Trump lashed out at top FBI officials on Saturday, his latest in a stream of criticism of the nation's premier law enforcement agency that has reportedly diminished morale among its agents and employees. It says Trump swiped at multiple agency officials in a string of tweets Saturday afternoon, suggesting that FBI Director Andrew McCabe may have been compromised by political donations and ripping former FBI Director James Comey as a leaker. How can FBI Director Andrew McCabe, the man in charge, along with leaking James Comey of the phony Hillary investigation, including her 33,000 illegally deleted emails, be given $700,000 for his wife's campaign by Clinton puppets during the investigation? See, I mean, just reeks of all kinds of corruption. And it says that Trump pointedly noted that McCabe may seek retirement in March when he'll receive his full pension benefits. And he wrote that the deputy of the bureau chief was racing the clock to retire with full benefits. But, you know, the whole investigation stinks to high heaven. We know that. But, guys, there's a lot more news I could cover, but I am going to get ready to sign off. We'll continue to go over, you know, information and things like this as I can find it and as it becomes available to me. And I just want you to know that we are winning that war against the globalists, but it's going to take people like yourself and myself to continue to fight hard and expose the corruption and expose the lies of the left for what they're doing. For Six Semper Tyrannus News, I'm Mark Matheny. Take care.